And I say that because I want to say this morning, the message that I prepared earlier this week to preach today, I really looked hard at it this weekend and thought, is this the right time with tragedy that we've experienced? And the Lord kind of said, look, that's the message I gave you. So that's the message you need to preach. So I just want you to know, there'll never be a time when I see what you're experiencing or we have a conversation and you walk away and I think, boy, now that's the sermon I'm going to preach on Sunday. Okay? This morning we are turning our attention in a critical direction where the questions that the Lord asks are concerned, because we're moving toward that most important event that we celebrate together as believers. We're three Sundays away from remembering the crucifixion of Christ, and we'll be sharing the Lord's Supper. We're four Sundays away from celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And between now and that Sunday, there's some questions the Lord asks that we really need to pay attention to. They are compelling because the way you answer them in your own life may determine just how you experience Easter this year. The first of these questions is one he asked in the town of Bethany. Bethany is a village on the outskirts of Bethlehem. It was only about a 2-mile walk to the city itself. Bethany was the hometown to several biblical figures, but mostly we remember Bethany as the home of Lazarus and his sisters, Martha and Mary. Lazarus was the reason that Jesus came to Bethany in the passage that we read together a few moments ago. Jesus had been up north, the Jordan River, out of reach of those who were seeking to take his life, when the word came to him that Lazarus is ill. Lazarus is very ill. Lazarus is on the verge of death. Can you come and can you heal him? People expected that he would go immediately. After all, Lazarus was one of Jesus' closest friends. And Jesus had touched so many lives and healed so many people and set so many people free. Surely if there's anybody Jesus is going to run to, it will be his friend Lazarus. Instead, the Bible says, he remained right where he was for several days. He continued to teach the people who were there. He continued to touch the lives of those where he was. The disciples had to admit they were relieved when Jesus didn't go, because they were afraid of what might happen if they found themselves close to Jerusalem, if they found themselves within the grasp of the Sanhedrin, knowing the hostility that they were feeling toward Jesus and the desire they had to take his life. They thought, finally, the Lord is showing great wisdom in staying away from that place, because if we go, he's going to die. That's why they were shocked when a couple of days later he told them, now it's time to leave. Especially when he said this. He said, it's time for us to leave. We need to go to Bethany. We know Bethany is a dangerous place. But I've got to go. I've got to wake Lazarus up. And they said, we don't understand. If he's sleeping, he must be feeling better. Fellas, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. We've got to go. This is one of those places where I really like what the Bible tells us about Thomas. You know, Thomas gets such a bad rap. What do we know him as? Doubting Thomas. I won't believe he's alive unless I see his wounds. Here, I love Thomas. Old practical Thomas. Because Jesus says, we've got to go. I've got to get to Bethany. And everybody says, if you go, they're going to take your life. We're scared to death of what might happen. And there goes Thomas. You know what he says? He says, well, let's go. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die with him. You got to love a fellow like that, don't you? So Jesus made his way to Bethany, and by the time he arrived, the fact was Lazarus had died four days before. And as he drew near to the city, the word came to Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, that he was on the way. So Martha ran and she met Jesus outside of the city. And they sat and they talked. And the Lord tested Martha to the very utmost of her faith. Would she be strong enough during the greatest challenge of her life? Would you? Would I? I think the story of this encounter between Jesus and Martha is the story of where the depth of your faith may be. You know, all of us like to think, I have faith, I trust in the Lord, I'm depending upon Him. No matter what happens, I'm going to hang close to the Lord. But sometimes you just don't know until your faith is tested to the utmost. I love what Stephen Brown said. Stephen Brown said one time, people like to say, Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all I need. But he said, let me tell you this. You will never know if Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And then you'll know whether Jesus is all you need. And that's exactly where Martha found herself that morning. She had depended upon the Lord to come. She believed Jesus was going to arrive. Jesus was going to do exactly what she had asked for him to do. He was going to come and he would reach down and he would touch his brother Lazarus and he would say, Lazarus, get up off that bed. You are healed. And everything would be fine again. And the sun would shine and the birds would sing and all would be well with the world. Then Lazarus died. No Jesus. Days went by. No Jesus. And then on the fourth day, he finally arrived. But it seemed to Martha as though he'd come too late. There was nothing left to be done. Her grief was so deep. And that's when she had to discover whether she had the faith to trust the Lord, even in the darkest time of her life. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about what genuine faith looks like. As we begin to prepare ourselves for the Easter celebration. But more than that, as we prepare ourselves for the living of every day of our life. So let's take a look at genuine faith. The first thing I want you to see this morning is this. Genuine faith reveals itself under pressure. Do I want to know whether I have faith or not? Then I need to know what I'm going to do when the pressure is at its hardest in my life. All of us want to have faith in Christ. Some of us even pray for deeper faith. But we don't always think about what that kind of faith requires. To pray for strong faith is to pray to be tested. Lord, I want my faith to be deeper. I want my faith to be richer. I want to know my faith will stand. I want to know that I'm going to be strong. I pray for deeper faith. And the Lord is in His heaven and He hears what you're praying and He says, okay, but understand what that means. That means I'm going to test you in ways you've never been tested before. And that's exactly what happened to Martha. When she found her way to Jesus, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't want you to miss what that statement means. Martha was heartbroken. She didn't understand why Lazarus had to die. She sounds as though she's even a little bit angry with Jesus. But there's also this. In the midst of all of that, in the midst of her struggle, she never questioned the authority of Christ. Lord, if you had been here, you would have done something. Lord, if you had been here, everything would have been okay. Lord, if you had been here, you have the power to do whatever you need to do. Why weren't you here? I guess what I'm thinking is this. Martha knew the Lord could do anything he chose to. She just didn't understand what he had not done. I can trust you with the things you do, but what about those times when you don't do what I expect you to do? What about then, Lord? John reveals to us that Jesus knew exactly what he was facing. He'd already told his disciples that Lazarus had died. He told them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him." What had happened was no surprise to the Lord. The Lord knew what he had planned. But Martha didn't have a clue. All she knew was her world had fallen apart. But here's the thing I want you to see. She chose to trust him, even under pressure. You see, we don't give Martha enough credit if all we do is look at that passage where she said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." But that's not the end of what she said to Jesus. She also said this, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Even now, when it's too late. Even now, when I don't understand, even now, I just give it all to you. I give it to you. She had to put everything in Jesus' hands because sometimes faith means trusting Christ even when you don't understand. Have you ever been there? I know I have. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you think, "Lord, why didn't you do what I expected you to do? Lord, why did I have to deal with this disappointment? Lord, why am I having to struggle with this grief? Lord, why have things gone wrong the way they have? Lord, I don't understand." And all of us have been in that situation. The real question is not, are you going to reach a point where you don't understand? The real question is, in those times when you don't understand, are you still going to trust God's love for you? You know, one of the greatest challenges that pastors have is walking with people through experiences of hardship and fear and trouble and grief. You have no idea how many times I wish that I could just give somebody a pat answer that would just answer everything. Sam and Amanda and Larry would tell you that if I could give the solution I want to give, because they know I do this with staff all the time. Jeff, you too, I'm sorry. All of you. My answer would be, "Oh, I'm so sorry for this trouble you're having. I'm sorry for the struggle you're going through. Here, read this book." That's my answer. But you know, a lot of times, there's not a book that has pat answers. A lot of times, all you can do is be there with people and pray with people and help them to have faith in God, even when it's the hardest thing in the world to do. We don't always understand what the Lord does or doesn't do. We have to believe that at times God uses difficult seasons to grow our trust in Him. We have to believe that in it all, God is still at work. God is doing something special in my life. Charles Swindoll says it this way. He says, nothing is ever wasted in the economy of God. I believe that. I believe that even when you go through the darkest challenges and the deepest hurts, that somehow God's going to use that and use you to bless other people. Because that's the way He works. He uses every experience, every struggle, every heartache, and make something of it. If you've gone to church very long, you've probably heard the story of Horatio Spafford. You've probably heard more than one preacher tell that story. You remember Horatio Spafford? He was a 19th century man who lived in Chicago, a businessman, a close friend of Dwight L. Moody. And you may remember the story that he and his family were preparing to go to London because Moody was there preaching and he wanted to go and join him and be part of that and take his family there. And at the last minute, Spafford had to stay behind to handle some business before he could leave town. So he sent his wife and his four children on ahead. And about halfway across that sea voyage, the ship they were in sank and all of the children drowned. And he got a horrible telegram from his wife. It simply said, I alone am saved. And out of that experience, you've probably heard preachers say, and that's where that song came from. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You've probably heard that story. What you may not have heard is the rest of the story. What do you do when you've experienced that depth of tragedy? What do you do when you've lost your children? How do you respond when you weren't there to protect them? Well, here's the rest of the story. Soon after their loss, Spafford and his wife Anna sold everything they had. They followed God's leadership, and they traveled to Jerusalem. And while they were there, they established a foundation where they could take care of the poor people, and they could reach out to those who had need. But most of all, they created a home for homeless children. And while their own children were gone, they began to bless the children of Jerusalem. For the next 8 years, that's exactly what they did. And then Spafford himself passed away. And after his death, his wife, who probably could have returned home again, chose to remain in that city for the next 35 years, blessing children. God used them in ways they could never have imagined before, even in the midst of the worst pressure they'd ever experienced in their lives. Never forget that God's plans extend far beyond the pressure of any given moment. The Bible also tells us that genuine faith depends upon the Lord's assurance. Jesus revealed something to Martha that she desperately needed to hear. He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. In the midst of her hopelessness, the Lord gave her words of eternal hope. She needed to know that the hope that will never fail can only be found in one place. It is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in anything you can find around you. Lasting hope is not something you can generate from within you. The only lasting hope that you can find is going to be the hope you find in Christ Jesus. That will never, never fail you. There are times when all of us need to hear the Lord's personal promise that never fails. We need to hear that what he said to Martha is the same thing he's saying to you and I. He is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. It all comes down to me. And Jesus doesn't hesitate to declare, he alone is the only bedrock there is in this world that gives you everlasting hope. Anything else you turn to, whatever else you think you can depend upon, it will never be enough apart from him. Unless your faith is in Jesus and Jesus alone, you have nowhere to stand when life is hard. And life is going to be hard. If not today, tomorrow. If not tomorrow, someday. Had a member in my last church who had been through tremendous struggle. A long illness of her spouse. A lot of struggle within their lives. And one day I said something that I said often to the folks in that church. I would say there are only three kinds of people in this world. Did you know that? There are people who have suffered, there are people who are suffering, and there are people who will suffer. And I said that in church, and she walked up to me after the service, and she said, Jim, I want you to know something. And I said, what do you want me to know? And she said, I want you to know the next time I hear you say there are only three people in this world, I'm going to punch you in the nose. It just gets a little close to home, doesn't it? But it's the truth. All of us are going to go through those struggling times in our lives. And in those times, we need to know, my faith is in Christ Jesus. And him alone. The Bible says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. What was Paul saying? He really is the resurrection and the life. And you can trust what he says to you. So Martha had to face a critical question from the lips of Jesus. A critical question composed of four simple words. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Not as a theological statement, not as an academic subject. It was a question that went straight to her heart. Martha, do you believe this? And his eyes pierced into her soul and demanded a response. No matter what was happening around her, no matter what she was facing, it was a question that demanded an answer. And only one answer would do. And her response to Jesus was this. Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. Her response was four simple words. Jesus had asked her, do you believe this? Her answer was, yes, Lord, I believe. She made the decision to trust Jesus, period. No matter what. Wouldn't be long before she would stand with Jesus before a tomb. She would hear him command, Lazarus, come forth, and she would see her brother return to the land of the living. But all of that happened after she had settled the question. Yes, Lord, I believe. I will trust you no matter what. Because that's the most important thing any of us can do. We have to settle the question beyond our circumstances, beyond our questions, beyond our fears, beyond our doubts, beyond our circumstances, we have to settle the question. Yes, Lord, I believe. When she said that, Martha had no idea what Jesus had in mind. She had no idea that she would ever see her brother again. But she chose to trust the Lord. And the same thing is true for you and I. You know, we are going to face our times. We're going to go through our struggles. We are going to be one of those three kinds of people. The question is, what do you do before those times come? Have you settled the issue before you deal with the problems and the heartaches and the fears? The Lord is saying this morning to you and I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me, he shall never die. Do you believe this? And that's the question I ask you today. Do you believe what Jesus has promised to those who trust in him? And are you ready to say, yes, Lord, I believe. No matter what, I trust you. Maybe you're here today, you're not a believer. You've never trusted Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe today that's exactly what the Lord's wanting you to do. And you know in your heart of hearts that he's confronting you in the same way he confronted Martha so long ago. He wants to know, what are you going to do about it? And maybe today is the day when you need to pray and ask him to forgive your sins and ask him to give you eternal life and trust him for a lifetime and then for eternity. If today's the day when you need to trust Christ Jesus, in a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you'll just come here, I'll be glad to meet you and I'll be glad to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe part of trusting and believing is that there's something the Lord wants you to do. Maybe he's calling you to become part of this church family and you just need to bring your membership to this place. Maybe there's something very specific in your life that you need somebody to pray with you about. And you might want to come and I'll be glad to meet you and pray with you. What we need to know is this. If you'll come, he'll be here for you. He is always there for you when you trust him. Do you need to come? Let's stand together. Let's sing. Been good to be in God's house. I'm glad we got to share this service together. Let me encourage you, be with us tonight. 5 o'clock for our evening service, something incredible is going to happen tonight. And you want to be part of it. 2.5 years in the making. Tonight we study the last passage in the book of Romans. You don't want to miss being there for the last message. It's been a wonderful journey together, and I'm excited that tonight we'll be wrapping that up. And next Sunday, I don't know. We'll see what next Sunday brings. It's been good to be here in God's house. It's exciting this morning in our Sunday school hour. I know Herbie Gear was here to teach the Sunday school lesson. We're so grateful for Herbie and Ann and the ministry they've had, and the missionary experience they've had in Jerusalem. And Herbie, I wonder if you would grace us by coming to the pulpit and just saying our closing prayer for us. And then a final prayer. God bless you, brother.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can trust you with life, with death, with today and with tomorrow. Father, we ask that you would just grant us your mercy and grace, that we would just know you more as we walk through this life and its trials. We thank you that you are there, that you promised, do not fear nor be dismayed, for I will be with you always. So we ask you, Lord, as we go out, we will trust you, we will walk with you. In Jesus' name we ask it, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.